Booker.
Yes.
Trustee Petrosimone.
Aye.
Trustee Zangari.
Aye.
Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. Motion carries. Item number two, administrative matters. We're going to put that on hold for 1 minute with the board's permission. Item three, withdrawals from the fund. That's information only, does not require a deliberation or the vote of the board. Item number four, disability retirement reexamination. And I must indicate that if we are going to discuss in any fashion the medical results on this individual, we would have to go into executive session. Is the board prepared to make a vote on this matter?
Mr. Chair, this is Kathy Graves. I propose that we move item four.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Mr. Chair, Mark Petrosimone, I second it. Second the motion.
Motion been made. Is there discussion on this motion? I'd like to call upon the trustees for their preference on this motion. Again, Trustee Graves.
Aye.
Trustee Elker.
Yes.
Trustee Petrosimone.
Aye.
Trustee Zangari.
Yes.
Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
And Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. If we can go on to item, hold on 1 second. Item number five, service-connected disability retirement application. Again, if there's going to be any discussion involving the medical condition of this individual, we have to go into executive session for discussion. Is there a motion of the board to accept this?
This is Kathy Graves. I move that we accept item five.
Motion made.
Mr. Chair, it's Mark Petrosimone. I second that motion.
Second. Is there a discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their vote. Trustee Graves.
Yes.
Trustee Elker.
Yes.
Trustee Petrosimone.
Aye.
Trustee Zangari.
Yes.
Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnella is also an aye. Item five is death after retirement. It's information only. And I would like to call upon the trustees for the deaths of Ronald Rosaro, Curly Rouse, Florence Vesey, and James DiStefano. I'd like to call upon the board to offer a moment of silence for the repose of the souls of these individuals. Thank you very much. Rest in peace. Item number seven, payment of bills. It's the board's pleasure on item seven.
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I move for the approval of the bills.
Is there a second?
Payment of the bills.
Kathy Graves, I second.
Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their vote. Trustee Graves.
Yes.
Trustee Elker.
Yes.
Trustee Petrosimone.
Aye.
Trustee Zangari.
Yes.
Trustee Gormany.
Aye.
Trustee Sagnello is also an aye. Old business, any old business? If not, I'd like to move on to item nine, new business. Under new business, I'd like to entertain the, I've been approached by various members of the unions involved with the pension plan. And there's been a letter that's been received by the pension board voicing some concern about the salary increases for three individuals in the city. And the letter also goes on to outline what is perceived to be some potential problems for the pension fund as a result of these increases. I would like to say that obviously this letter will have to be sent to our legal counsel to be reviewed, but I'd like to take as much commentary on this today as possible. And I believe we see Sherilyn Poindexter here, and I know she's going to want to make some commentary on this. And maybe we can open by having her make her statement.
Thank you, Chair. I appreciate your time. I wrote, I'm sorry, my voice is very cracky this morning. Can you hear me good?
I hear you.
Okay. Last meeting, I'm sorry, you were absent at last month's meeting. I read a letter, that letter to the pension board. I also sent it in through an email. On the email, I requested to be on today's agenda. I didn't realize that I was not on today's agenda until I looked at the agenda for today's meeting. I also wrote another letter to yourself and to Mark Petrosimone. I sent that letter in as well on the 14th because you both are elected members of the board by the unions and the retiree members. I would like to read that letter to you today that I wrote to you both, and I will entertain any questions you have. But this is of great concern to me, and I think it's very important that we address this head on. It says, Dear Mr. Sagnella, as you are aware, on October 3rd, 2022, the New Haven Board of Alders voted to increase the salary and pension benefits for three city positions. Maximum salary with double pension multipliers would increase a 20-year employee's yearly pension in the above position by more than 200%. You were elected to the retirement board by voting members who count on you to act for the benefit of the members and in this plan. In addition, contract language specifically states said board shall, emphasis added, engage expert actuarial legal auditing service when it shall be advisable. In the last 3 years, pension funding has dropped from 49% to 37%. It is clear that this legislation can only result in higher costs to the city and unsustainable costs to the pension plan. On October 21st, 22, I requested Taylor Cannon place my correspondence regarding this issue on the November 16th, 22 agenda. I urge you to demand the board uses authority and secure a new actuary prepared annual determination employee contribution report and actuary required contribution report prior to implementing any changes. Board members reluctant to pursue this information should be reminded that they are not indemnified by acts of willful misconduct or lacks of good faith. Please forward the board's action regarding securing new ADEC and ARC reports to me as soon as meeting minutes become available. I am confident a review of new reports will convince the pension board and ultimately the Board of Alders that their action was not in the best interest of the city, the New Haven taxpayers, current employees, and retirees and should be rescinded. Please do not hesitate to call me 203-500-1864 with any questions. In my letter to you, I also requested that I be notified of any meetings. And also, I would like to have the financial reports because they were not online when I went to go look at them. They're not listed on the website. So that is my letter. And I think it's important that when I send a letter to the pension board, whether it's one member or all, that the letter is acknowledged that you received it. And then also, if you're not going to put me on the agenda or do anything that my letter requested, then I think that I should be notified. That's why my contact information is there. And nobody acknowledged any of my letters that I've been writing until today when I came onto this meeting here.
Sherilyn, where were the letters sent?
I sent the letters to Taylor Cannon at the New Haven because at the last meeting, that's where they told me to send the letter to her. Because she was the one secretary on record at that meeting. So, and she told me she was going to forward the letter that I sent on the 14th to Leanne. So I don't know if that occurred. I didn't see, that email, But I did exactly what the board advised me to do.
Well, this issue is on the agenda. It is on being heard today under new business, and we will keep you in the loop on any discussions pertinent to this letter. I'd like to just start out with if there's any commentary that legal counsel has after review. Have you reviewed the letter, legal counsel?
No. I was here at the last meeting, and I can't remember. Was that letter read into the record?
Yes, yeah. It was. Yes.
Yeah. So I had commentary at the last meeting, and I've also spoken to Ms. Poindexter on the telephone about it.
Mark.
Hi, thank you, Mr. Chair. I'm in receipt of the letter. I received a copy of the letter via email last night at about 9:30. So the letter's dated November 14th. Last night, I did receive the letter about 9:30 in the evening.
Yeah, I didn't get it last night either. Yeah.
Pardon me?
I got it last night also, like you.
Yeah. So I had a couple questions on it, and I don't know if this is the right time to ask those questions or if this is going to be placed on the agenda for a more formal type of discussion.
I think it will be, Mark, but I think today we're just gathering information. I don't think there's going to be a vote on this today.
Okay, so maybe when we have an additional subsequent conversation, we can address the statement where it says maximum salaries will double, present multiplier would increase at 20-year employees' yearly pension above to more than 200%. If I could get a more clearer understanding of what that means when we talk about it at our next meeting, I would presume.
This is Trustee Zangari. I have no idea what Ms. Poindexter is talking about. It's all sort of jumbo language. So could maybe we go back and explain what we're talking about and why?
Is it okay if I do that?
Go ahead.
I'm sorry, Mario. Also, when I sent, I believe, can't remember now, when I sent in the letter, I thought I sent in, there was an ordinance passed on October 3rd by the Board of Aldermen. This ordinance is going to, will allow the multiplier for the pension to double. And also, they also intend to increase the employees' salaries as well. So one of the employees that currently we know of would be Michael Gormity, because he would be the one that this would be effective for. So if he got 20 years, say he was going to get 20%, now he's going to get 40%, and then they increase his salary. They was talking about $169,000. So if he was once getting 20% at, say, for instance, 125, now he's getting 40% at 169. So this is something that the Board of Alders should have asked for an actuary report on. What is the actual cost of these changes? Who it will affect? And also look into who else is out there that it may perhaps effect as well, besides Michael Gormley. Now, there's supposed to be another position that it will affect as well, which is the position, a new position that the city just made, which is, I can't tell you what the whole name is, but it's head of the IT. It's a big IT job. So say, for instance, that IT job goes to somebody who's currently sitting in the city of New Haven. They, too, will be given these additional monies and multiplier. So, again, that's two employees who possibly will be getting it, but nobody did an actuary report to show how much money will this cost. The city claims it's $52,000, but as we know, when you're dealing with numbers and money, you can tell exactly how much it is because you're supposed to look at it over, example, Michael Gormley's lifetime. He's a young guy. Over his lifetime, what would that cost be exactly? And then the city should be putting the money in up front, not behind and the background. They should put in whatever that money is. It should go in with the ARC payment up front in addition to the ARC, not with inside the ARC, in addition. If they want these changes, they should pay for them up front. Should not be guessing how much it is. They should know exactly how much it is. But I will send you in the ordinance again, Mario, so you can have it exactly what the ordinance says. I will submit that to the board today again so that you can have it.
So just so I get this right, the Board of Aldermen made a decision, and this is the fallout of that decision.
That's correct.
And the question is it one or two people who are affected by it, and what is the cost of the, and that's your question, and that's based on your representing whom?
That's correct.
Now, Cheryl Lynn, you said that there was something you received that indicated the actuarial cost to the city would be $52,000?
No, it was in the, I sent you the article. There was an article in the Independent, and in that article, it says that the city said the cost would be $52,000. That's all it would cost. And that is incorrect. There's a ways they can, you can go to the actuary and actually find out exactly how much money it is by looking at Michael Gormley, how many years he has, how old he is, what would it be over his lifetime, exactly how much money it is, and then put that money in. So that it was an article in the Independent that said that. That's how I found out about the whole thing, through the article in the Independent.
Well, I was just curious, no matter where you saw that, you know, where did that, whoever was reporting that, where did they get that information from? Because I'm not sure that, I mean, obviously, I don't think Hooker and Holcomb has done an actuarial study for the actuary for the board. So I was just curious if there was a source that was quoted in the article or something.
I didn't see a source name per se. I mean, is the mayor still on? I'm sure can the mayor. I spoke to the mayor about this issue as well after the meeting, the last meeting. I was very upset about that nobody did any back homework on the actuary report saying exactly how much money it is before they decided to do this ordinance. It says three people total, three positions total that it will affect, but they don't know that, Jerry. I'm sorry, they don't know that. It could be many more people. It could open up a can of worms for many more people. And that's my concern, is that if you don't know, if you never did the homework to see exactly what this would do, then you shouldn't have, don't do it until you know for sure what is the impact on the fund with these changes. And it's only in executive management. And I understand executive management does not go into the pension. After 2008, you stopped, they agree not to put them in. But this is for people who've been there before 2008. That's what this is for. And you don't know how many others it will affect or impact. And I strongly, strongly feel it will be a negative impact on the fund. Negative. And I did have a conversation with Carolyn Cohn. I was a little upset with her and my conversation with her as well, because I don't know who Carolyn Cohn, I asked her, who does she represent? She represent the best interests of the fund? Is she representing the best interest of the pension board members, or is she representing the best interest of the city of New Haven? Because the mayor said to me that she helped write the ordinance. So if that is correct, then I don't know exactly. Maybe we have a conflict of interest here on people who's representing the fund in its best interest. And the fund itself is the members and the retirees. That's who the fund is. And that's who we need to make sure we're securing the best thing for the fund itself.
Now, you say there are three positions, Cheryl Lynn. Is like one position manned with an individual and the other two are vacant?
That's correct.
Carolyn, is there any, in the federal laws, anything that has a maximum salary that an individual in the plant could have?
Yes. Yeah. Well, there's a maximum amount of compensation. I don't have that number, but that yes, that is correct. There's a maximum amount of compensation that the pension can be calculated off of. Yes.
I'd like to know what that is when you get a chief. Sure. I would like to, if you can send me something in writing, I would like to know exactly what that is.
Yeah.
May I say something?
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. So Attorney Cohn represents the pension fund. She does not represent the city. And there's never been any ambiguity there. I did not say that Attorney Cohn helped write the ordinance. I think she was consulted, and you know she can add there. But Miss Poindexter also sent me a letter. We're working on a response to her letter. Happy to have this conversation. It's not on the agenda, which doesn't mean we shouldn't have a conversation about it, but it really doesn't give us an opportunity to give a well thought out presentation to the pension fund about the details here, and have other staff to do so. My suggestion is we put it on the agenda for a future meeting where we all can be, including Ms. Poindexter and others, if she wishes to, we can be prepared to discuss it in more detail and give the board prior to that meeting more information to allow them to be prepared when they arrive at the meeting.
Right. Well, again, under new business, which has happened before, things aren't on the agenda at the time, but it's sort of like a fact finding or it starts the ball rolling discussion. And then from that point on, it would be agendized to go forward with it, which is, I think, what I said at the beginning, that you know, we'll try to get as much information as we can, but this is the starting point where you're vocalizing what the issue is, or the perceived issue. Carolyn, again, I'm trying to remember, is that under internal revenue law that there's a maximum?
Yes. Yeah. And I will get, for the next meeting, everybody, the information.
Okay. Well, I, as one individual.
But, I mean, I think it's really important. Well, two things in terms of the drafting. I was heavily involved in the drafting of the pension sections of the Executive Management and Confidential Employees Manual in 2011. And to the extent that this was a revision of that, I did assist in looking at what the language changes would be, but I was not involved in the final ordinance. But I think it's important for the board to understand its role, and maybe it's your pleasure to wait till the next meeting, but we do not have the authority. The Executive Management Confidential employees who are members of SERP, their pension terms are determined by ordinance by the Board of Alders. And we do not have the authority to question that in any way or to not implement what the Board of Alders determines. They determine the plan and our job is to implement it. So if there was not the adequate information put before the Board of Alders, that is something that should be addressed with the Board of Alders, not the pension fund.
But should there at minimum be some kind of actuarial study by our actuary that determines, you know, what this would cost the fund in terms of?
Well, that study should be done for the Board of Alders. I mean, they could hire our actuary, but we don't. Let's say our actuary comes up with a number. We do not have the authority to do anything about that number. That is for the Board of Alders. So maybe this is a matter that needs to be revisited with the Board of Alders, not the pension fund board.
But Cheryl,
it's
to me that this is the Board of Aldermen. They made this decision. It's their problem. We just implement this. And I think, Ms. Poindexter, your argument is with the Board of Alders who started this. We're just taking orders.
I think two things about that. One is that I'm going to back up for a minute. I think that I did write the Board of Alders, and I did send them a letter. As the mayor said, he got two letters. One letter was a letter I wrote to you. The other letter was a letter I wrote to them. So I did write a letter with them. But my thing with you is that you're making changes that is going to negative impact the fund. I understand the Board of Aldermen wrote those changes, but the action you can take is to find out how much exactly those changes cost. And then, because once you find out what the changes cost and the actuary does the study and reports what the numbers are, then the city of New Haven has to pay whatever that number is. If it changes the ARC payment, then our charter states that you have to put in the exact amount that the actuary says for the ARC payment. So if that case is, if the actuary comes back and says it's going to cost, say, for instance, $1 million more to the pension fund, okay, then the city has to pay $1 million more to the pension fund. So now they're paying the money up front. You want these changes? The city wants to make these additional changes that's going to impact the taxpayers in the city of New Haven and the current employees and the retirees, then that's fine. But then they have to pay for them, not on the back end, but on the front end. That's what I'm asking you to do. I'm asking you to do the ARC, do a current ARC report. I'm asking you to do a annual defined employee contributions report on Michael Gormley or Chet Sawicki, whoever gets that job, and know exactly what those numbers are, because that money will impact the fund, because the fund is already underfunded as it is. You got a rate of return of 7.25% when all over the country, everybody's paying 6% or less for a rate of return. So it's already being underfunded, and these changes will again make it more negatively impacted on the fund. All these changes, I agree with you, Mario. The Board of Alders should have called the pension board. They should have did an actuary study. They should even notice somebody. They have a pension task force. Where are they? Where were they? The city appointed a pension task force in 2018, and they didn't even call them to the meeting to ask them, is this good to do? Is this harmful to the fund? What's the impact? They didn't ask anybody's opinion on this. They just did it. And Carolyn said they consulted her. I want to know who paid her. If she was consulted to do this and give them information, did the pension fund pay her? Did the city of New Haven pay her? She's a lawyer for the pension fund. Why would the city consult her about some these changes without talking to the pension board? So these are my questions to the pension fund. I already opposed my question to the Board of Alders. I also asked the mayor to meet with me. I will be happy to meet with him and sit down and have a conversation with him. But I don't see the point of meeting if I don't have a current actuary report and the information I'm requesting in order to do so. That is my question to the fund.
Sherilyn, what did the Board of Aldermen say to you?
They have not responded. I'm about to file a FOI complaint against them because they have not responded to my request that I made to them. They have not responded to my letter that I've sent to them. I called their office, the Board of Alder office, and asked them if they had any correspondence from me or anything, because I sent a letter to all 30 Board of Alders and not one has responded. I also sent a letter to all the union presidents that are in the SURF fund as well. And I also employed them to demand these things as well, because they are there, they are the presidents of the union, and I asked them to demand it as well. So I've employed everybody, and I wanted to send a letter to the pension task force, but I have no idea who the members are, I have no idea how to contact them, and the fact that the city didn't even use their own arm of a commission that's supposed to be checks and balances, that says a lot to me, says a lot.
I think what this comes down to basically is the role of the trustees as fiduciaries to the fund. Again, at first blush, because we'll do a deeper dive on this, obviously, but at first blush, the trustees don't really have much or any jurisdiction over personnel matters. However, if those personnel matters have an impact on the financial aspects of the fund, then as fiduciaries, that's definitely within our jurisdiction. So I would think that, again, you will get a formal response to this and you will actually be called back to be present when we're discussing this at the next meeting. And in the meantime, I would like to know if we could have administratively Hooker and Holcomb broach the subject and try to get us a figure as to what the actual cost would be. You all right?
Yeah. Excuse me, Mr. Chairman, but I have two questions for Ms. Poindexter.
Sure.
Who do you represent, Ms. Poindexter, in this question? Are you representing whom?
One, I'm representing myself because I'm a member of the fund. I'm representing myself. And two, there is several other retirees who are on the letter as well. So I am also speaking to those retirees as well. And there's a few other that names are not on the letter who also gave me permission as well to stand up for them as well. So that's who I'm representing.
So there's a half dozen or so members of the, including yourself, who are members of the plan, and you feel that this is inappropriate, and not making any accusation action by the Board of Aldermen to increase these pensions for a particular employee. Is that basically?
Yep, that's basically it. Well, the ordinance says for three positions, so to do it for three people, yes.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Well, again, since this is under...
Chair,
go right ahead.
There's some things that were said by Ms. Poindexter that insinuate there's something going on here that's not transparent. And I just take issue with that, you know, saying that says a lot to me that they didn't use some committee or whatever. This is a noticed meeting, as we are required by law, that Mr. Poindexter and anyone in the public had the opportunity to testify on to the Board of Alders, and they did not take up that opportunity. And that's fine. She's here now. But this was a publicly noticed meeting that was fully transparent. The city shared all the information that the Board of Alders asked for. If there was a member of the public that felt that we should ask for it, the Alders should ask for additional information, they had the opportunity to testify in front of the Alders on that as well. The idea that we're not working to address the underfunded pensions that is a decades old problem is not correct. This pension fund voted to reduce our investment rate of return to be proactive. We have more work to do there, but it is not a fact that every other municipality across the country has a lower investment rate of return than we do. We have more work to do there, but it is not accurate that every other pension fund out there has a lower IRR. We're working very hard to address these issues and are happy to, and I'm very happy to try to get Ms. Poindexter additional information, but I take issue with the insinuation by some of the choice of words used that there's something inappropriate going on here. That is just not the case.
So noted. Again, as one individual, what I would like to have done here is if there, if our actuary, I don't think it's going to require a big thing. If our actuary can be apprised of the situation and let them come back to us as fiduciaries to the fund and let us know what the projected additional cost would be for such action. And I, as one individual, would like to see that.
Well, this is Carolyn. That's interesting information that should be given, done by the Board of Alders and given to the Board of Alders. Because once we find out how much this, and maybe it was done by the Board of Alders, but there's nothing we can do with that information. And I think it puts us in a position where, you know, where there's nothing we can do. And I just want everybody to understand that.
Well, it's nothing we can do, but it's something that we should know about. Mark, you had a comment?
Yeah, Mr. Chair, I'm still trying to get clear on this, but what I understand, it's three positions. So it's a position in IT, I think it's the human resource director, and it's the budget director. And it only pertains to the potential of it would only pertain to if the employee who were to move into one of those positions or is in one of those positions was employed by the city before 2008. So if it's a new employee that's going to one of those positions, this particular ordinance would not pertain to them because they weren't here in 2008. So obviously that multiplier and all the other stuff would not even pertain to that individual. I think those individuals go into a contribution plan now, a defined contribution plan. So I think it's pretty basic, you know, what we can do as a board as far as gaining knowledge of, you know, what could possibly happen. And I think other than having to do an extensive actuarial plan or something like that, I think we could present numbers of what, how it would affect the plan very simply. Since usually when you do an actuarial plan, you're talking about the entire membership. We're only talking about three people here.
Well, that's my point.
Three positions here.
I don't think it's a big ticket item.
Yeah.
Try to get a figure. And I understand what you're saying. The Board of Aldermen should be doing this. But again, I think as actuaries, we should know about it too.
I agree 100%. I think so we can all talk intelligently on it and have full knowledge of it. I think it's very important that we as trustees understand the action that was taken by the board and how it affects the pension fund. I agree. But
try to bring this to a head. And I agree with you, Mark. This is an item today under new business. We cannot vote on any aspects of this situation.
Yeah. But
we'll put it on the agenda for the next meeting. And at that point, votes can be taken. And I would, as an individual trustee, make a motion to have an actuarial study done. And again, not an epic one for the whole fund, but something that could give us a better figure as to, from our own actuary, as to what the additional cost of the fund would be. I think that's within our jurisdiction to do that.
Mr. Chair, yes. We get that done periodically. I thought it was a biannual type of study that's done, right?
Yeah. I was going to respond to that. I think that the ADEC is being recalculated this year. It would incorporate those changes.
Right. And it would be for your budget that's being prepared for the 23-24 year.
Mr. Gorman, can you clarify that?
Is that right?
We get the ADEC calculated every 2 years. Anytime there are bargaining unit changes or any ordinance changes such as this, that is included within the next ADEC recalculation. It just so happens that it's coming up for the fiscal year 23-24 budget cycle. So Hooker and Holcomb will start working on that pretty soon. As you know, the budget is due March 1st.
I think when the city had a massive early retirement plan, Hooker and Holcomb actually identified a number that was attributed to that early retirement. So, you know, quite possibly they could do the same thing here, but I don't think the number is that significant to start off with. But, like Jerry says, it'll probably be a simple numbers that could be calculated fairly easy by Hooker and Holcomb now.
Well, again, I think we've broached the subject on your new business, and we will have to schedule as a formal agenda item for the next meeting. And Sherilyn will obviously be in attendance. It's an open meeting, and hopefully by then we'll have some better information. Again, not since it's under new business, so no votes will be taken at all today. That being the case, I think we've pretty much conducted anything under new business on this agenda. Am I correct? Anything else?
Jerry, we have to go back to administrative matters.
Under new business, that we pretty much, that item is pretty much done right now, right? That being the case, I'm going to return back to the agenda.
We have to do item two, Jerry.
Right now. Mm. Item two, administrative matters. 2023 proposed calendar of SURF trustee monthly meetings. Leanna, you want to handle that?
Yes, hi, this is Leanna speaking. We emailed the proposed dates for 2023. It's usually the third Wednesday of every month. So the trustees would need to vote on this so we can get it posted.
Mrs. Chair, this is Mark Persimone. I move approval of the proposed meeting calendar for the 2023 year.
I'll second that. This is Justin Ellicker.
Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, I'd like to call upon the trustees for their vote. Trustee Graves?
Yes.
Trustee Ellicker?
Yes.
Trustee Petrosimone?
Aye.
Trustee Zangari?
Yes.
Trustee Gormany?
Aye.
Trustee Sagnella is aye also. And that being the case, I think we've conducted all business. And if that is so, I call upon the trustees for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chair, this is Mark Petrosimone. I'd like to make a motion that we adjourn.
This is Kathy Graves. I second.
Motion made and second. Is there discussion on this motion? In the absence of a motion properly made and second, all in favor indicate your vote as I call. One second. A lot of papers here. Trustee Graves?
Yes.
Trustee Ellicker?
Yes.
Trustee Petrosimone?
Aye.
Trustee Zangari?
Yes.
Trustee Gormany?
Aye.
Trustee Sagnella? Aye. Thank you, Jerry.
Can you and Leanna stay on after?
Sure. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. Appreciate your time.
Taylor has to stay on because she is running the Zoom.
Taylor, can you stay on this?
Yeah, Fan can get off. Taylor can stay on.
Okay. I was just making sure I got everyone off, but go ahead, Fan, you can leave.
So I just want to say two things. One is, Jerry, Leanna and I wanted really very much to, you know, go through this with you before the meeting, and we had such a hard time getting in touch with you. What's the best way for us to contact you?
I have my cell phone number. That's the best way.
We both tried. And
510-5350.